Hello, this is Vasant from All Out for Nolos. I have with me Anand Kumar Shankaran and Ramakrishna G. Iyer. This is our third Champions Trophy 2025 session. In this one, we'll be talking about the last few games of the league phase and then doing a little preview of the semifinals and also talk about all the controversy and chatter about India's scheduling and the playing of all the matches in Dubai and whatnot. Anand, your thoughts on the last group games?
More or less went as per plan. When we talked last, we had just concluded the Afghanistan-England game, that cracker of a game, probably the game of the tournament that so far. And then the Pakistan-Bangladesh game again got rained out in Rawalpindi. We had another game in Lahore, which unfortunately ended in a no result. Given where Afghanistan was, 273 was a reasonably good score, but Australia was off to a flyer. Afghanistan recovered fine after losing Rahmanullah Gurbaz for zero. And they ended up with 273 was again thanks to Omar Zai. But the way the Australians started batting, right? Matthew Short was off the blocks. Travis Head was off the blocks. Had the game gone through, most likely Australia would have chased it down. It's unfortunate that that also got rained out, which led us to the England-South Africa game. And as somebody we pithily posted, England finally lost a game without whining and truly and solidly beaten. I mean, this team, they can't bat 50 overs. I don't know what's going on with this team. That led us to today's game, the India-New Zealand game, which again went as per plan. Ashwin called it right. Four spinners throttled the batting lineup. I think we can all agree that Glenn Phillips is the true successor to Jonty Rhodes. The catch that he took today reminded us of the Jonty Rhodes catch flying in the other direction to catch Sachin Tendulkar way back when. And he starts flying after the ball has passed him. Jonty Rhodes caught it behind him, as did Glenn Phillips behind him. Both shots were firmly stuck, very less reaction time. It was quite spectacular to watch. And I actually saw some of the videos where Ravindra Jadeja was amazed by the catch and he was reenacting it. That in itself was quite fabulous to watch. Glenn Phillips is just taking fielding to a different level. We are all fans of Glenn Phillips in this part. But it is all going to, as per plan, Ravi Shastri seems to think that the semifinals will be played in the same pitch. We'll see what happens, but I will be very shocked if India doesn't go all the way to the finals from here. That's where I am.
I did think that the England versus South Africa game went to plan. England was really bad with the bat. The South Africans looked extremely impressive once again. I watched some of the game and I thought the South African looked a complete team. And then South Africa just absolutely obliterated this English bowling lineup. This was a pathetic performance. They might have even sent in their bags. They were going to the airport right from the ground because there was just no point. It's a pity. It's a team that has got a lot of talent. A lot of the British podcasters talk about this and that. None of them really ask, what's going on with this strategy? What kind of a plan is it to bat in this manner? The theory seems to be, this is just an extended T20. I think Chris Wokes, who very, very gently suggested, ODIs nowadays are closer to test cricket and not to T20s. And that's actually a recent view, especially with the way they play it. They bat at the same speed anyway. They just didn't perform. And it's not a surprise in terms of the way they've been playing. It's not a surprise that they've not done well. It is a surprise given the talent that they have. They didn't do anything. They didn't make any efforts.
Are either of you surprised that Jos Buttler has stepped down?
No. Somehow Jos Buttler does not enjoy Asia. Even in the IPL, it's a hit or a miss now and then, but he certainly does not enjoy Asia. I think one of the Owen Morgan 2015 to 2019 and then baseball, I think England is now used to flat tracks. Not just for white ball, but even for test cricket. They have built the team around it. Any pitch that does not offer true bounce and the ability to hit, people like Buttler seem to struggle. The entire team seems to struggle if the pitch offers any kind of assistance to the bowlers right now.
No, there was no doubt Buttler struggled with the bat. Other than that one flawless 100 that came from Windhoek in one of the games, the entire batting pretty much sucked. Somehow I felt bad for Buttler. Somehow I felt like he was carrying the monkey on his back and they needed a fall guy at the end of all of this. So like, okay, Butler, you quit. I mean, Baz has just taken over, so maybe he can't be the fall guy. That's fair. But they didn't perform any differently with the other guy either. The 2023 World Cup was really bad. The 2024 T20 World Cup, also under Butler's captaincy. Yeah, they made the semifinal and they lost to India in Guyana and everything. But again, they had a very favorable schedule in that sense that, you know, getting to these semifinals wasn't particularly hard. And of course, here they end up losing to Afghanistan. So three World Cups, all ending in like meh performances. So the captains got to go. Sounds like a fair way of looking at it on the one hand. But I don't know. I mean, if they make Harry Brook captain, I truly do not know what Harry Brook will really change going forward. But we'll see. We'll see. Though I mean, I tweeted about it and it was only half in jest. I would love to see Ben Deckett as a captain just for the pressers and all these funny statements he's going to make so we can all laugh about it.
Yeah, couple of things. Ashwin actually likes Ben Deckett because I think they were teammates. Yeah. And he thinks that Ben Deckett is a lively character, and sometimes he says things because he's asked and he doesn't know when to walk out. But I like Butler in general. I look at Butler the way I look at Cummins. Very pleasing characters. There's nothing about them that you can get angry about. Sure. These are not the typical English jelly bean dropping, obnoxious. This is not Chris Broad. This is not Anderson, right? This is perhaps playing IPL for majority of his life. They look at players as players and competitors and not as enemies or somebody who's beneath them. So yeah, it's sad to see him go. And I think what is sadder is he shouldn't be batting at 6 and 7. He's a far, far better talent. He should be a 4 or a 3 batter in white ball cricket. But it's what it is.
In fact, I was just thinking a little bit about his plight. I mean, I quite like him because he's very soft-spoken, very measured in the way he says things. There's no rubbish, there's no aggression. And I have taken a liking to him over the years. In the IPL, he does play very well when he gets going. I mean, exceptionally well. But what I did feel is that it's like these recreational cricket teams. The captain is forced to sacrifice a bunch of things in order to accommodate a whole bunch of other stuff.
Other jokers, like,
Jamie Smith. I mean, yeah, young talent, but what is he doing at 3? And then Harry Brook, and everybody's being accommodated by this guy. Instead, he should have been batting at 3. Joe Root should have been batting at 4 because they are the best batters. Funnily enough, in India, it's not a problem because of so-called superstar culture. They won't touch Rohit. They won't touch Virat. They will play in their slots. And had that been the case with England, Butler would have been batting at 3 and Root would have been batting at 4. And we would have seen a very, very different English team. And then you don't put a 2T specialist as your ODI opener. Phil Salt is not your
Shouldn't be in the squad. ODI Butler should be opening. Yeah.
Butler should be opening. In an ideal world, Butler should be opening with Duckett. And that would be just fine. Or if you want to bring in a more classical guy, bring in Crawley from the test team. These guys are pretty aggressive. They can play. And of course, the lack of variety. This reminded me of South Africa in the 1999 World Cup. Their medium pace unit had about 5 or 6 guys. Everybody was right arm over the wicket, fast medium. I think they had Donald who was like fast. When your attack does not have variety in today's world, you can't play ODI cricket.
Yeah. South Africa 99, you know, but for that catch and the brain fade of the run out and Shane Warne severely motivated by his anger towards Steve Waugh, South Africa should have won it. Right? Everything kind of aligned. As you were mentioning about the test openers, if ODI is similar to test cricket today, then just play your test team. You don't have to play the T20 team because it's obvious that if you're getting all out in 38 overs, that's not right. It's pretty sad and pretty pathetic.
It just begs for these guys to do a little bit of introspection and make the necessary changes. And I think they have drunk this Kool-Aid of baseball to a crazy extent wherein they feel that they have to find the most aggressive players in every single format. They don't need to. You find the right guys for the right format. Just look at Team India. Look at the guys who are playing in the T20I team and the ODI team. Except for a couple of guys, there's hardly any overlap. Talking of India, it was a commanding win over New Zealand. The early struggles, the flying Kiwi catch. At 3 for 30, it didn't look very impressive. But then it was just very, very steady and smart batting. understanding the conditions. Shreyas Iyer, very good innings. Then Hardik Pandya came to the party when he needed to with the bat. He just comes, does his thing, and guys at the end keep on chipping away. It was a solid performance. 249 was just a little more than what Pakistan got. But somehow 249, I felt, was a good total. And they kept pegging away. And look at the fielding. Akshar Patel, Ravindra Jadeja, what outstanding fielding. And then they unleashed Varun Chakravarti, who the New Zealanders had not seen before. I was chuckling at the reaction of Mitchell Santner. This was the same reaction MS Dhoni had on two of three occasions when he bowled him in the IPL over two seasons. It's like a look of shock.
I think this whole idea of picking Chakravarti is an absolute masterstroke. People may say what they want about the whole Gambhir Varun KKR connection. Mm-hmm. Everything is being said about the whole Harshana angle as well. But mm-hmm. but to sit Rana out and play Varun as the fourth spinner. Basically, they were ready to go and bowl for 40 overs of spin on that pitch and kind of get Shami and Hardik to share the new ball. I thought took a little bit of guts to do that. But I think this guy is just in this amazing purple patch right now. He's got this total Midas touch about whatever he does right now. So he just can't go wrong. And Shastri is right about the semifinal being played on the same pitch. He's going to be playing in the semifinal as well. So they're going to go literally with one pacer.
If you remember, Ram, when we chatted during the preview, I had mentioned that the whole idea seems to be release Chakravarti against players who have not seen him. And Australia has not seen him.
All these players play IPL. They all know what Chakravarti can do. So what are they missing? Why isn't anybody connecting it?
Two theories. One is the overlap is not that much. Not all the players face him. And Chakravarti often doesn't bowl to many of these guys. So it's a much smaller sample set. Number two, Chakravarti has grown leaps and bounds in the last 2 years more than before. All this has happened in this 23-24 time frame, which means even though these guys might have played the IPL, he may not have been what he is now. A lovely piece that the commentators were talking about. The first ball he bowled, he was hit for a four. And he says how smartly, the first thing he did is he pulled back his length. Didn't allow the guys to drive. So this guy is like the nearest to podcaster in terms of using his brains.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, to be fair, Hardik Pandya did the same thing when he literally goaded Babar Azam into flailing outside the off stump. He bowled a foolish ball, let him drive one for four, and then made a very dramatic expression of frustration as if he had made a mistake, which I think was just a whole head fake. Yeah. The whole thing was he was already planning that the next ball was a little shorter, a little faster, and then he knew that this guy will wave the bat at him, and that was it. So these guys are very smart. They know their cricket very well.
Yeah, true.
So we are up against Australia in the semifinals, and Australia, which has played one match fully. Brilliant performance to down a very sorry English side, though. So I'm not so sure how much of an indication that is. They started off very well against another weak bowling attack, which is the Afghanistan bowling attack. Guess what? Rashid Khan didn't bowl a single over and Noor Ahmed bowled 1.3 overs in that section. So they never saw Rashid Khan. So this Australian team, I mean, batting here, Fazal Haq Farooqi on a flat track and Omar Zai on a flat track is not that big a deal. And the English attack anyway was poor. So lots of runs, but I'm not so sure. And now they're up in Dubai. It's the same square. Shastri says it's the same pitch. From what I heard pre-tournament, there were two pitches planning to alternate. The first pitch against Bangladesh was turgid. It was turning in the second half. We saw Rishad Hussain bowling beautifully. The game against Pakistan, the second game, the pitch was much flatter, much easier to bat on. It's just that the Pakistanis didn't bat well. This pitch, again, seemed to be helping the spinners more. I don't know where the semi-final and the final, assuming the final is played here, will be played on. But again, apparently the whole square looks very similar. Ashwin was talking about a very wide square because they go and cut grass and then they roll the grass onto the pitch. And that has its own impact. This Indian team is playing very, very well and should be the favorites for this game. But then again, Australia is always some kind of a, what do you call, challenge.
This time, the challenge with Australia has to be like mental. Sure, everybody remembers the 2023 November final, of course, right? But there has been one another World Cup game in St. Lucia where they hammered the Australians, courtesy of that lovely Rohit Sharma innings. And they only literally have their B team bowling here. No Cummins, no Stark, and no Hazelwood. I mean, it hasn't hurt them so far. Finally, with some sort of a quality opponent in the form of India, who, not to mention, have an unfair pitch advantage, that I say that in air quotes. Surely that bowling attack will come up short at that point. This is not a great bowling attack. I mean, they have a very, very good batting side, but they really don't have a great bowling attack. And I feel like it will catch up with them on this Tuesday.
Yeah, it's hard to beat this Indian team in Dubai, particularly when there is no Cummins. You know, if you look back at the 2023 ODI World Cup finals, the difference was Cummins.
Pretty much.
Cummins bowled like an off-spinner on that pitch. You know, Cummins can make any pitch work for him.
Down to his tune.
Yeah, to his tune, right? I mean, exactly. Lack of Cummins, Hazelwood and Stark, I think it's too big a blow.
I mean, the way he did in Ahmedabad on that day.
And 50 overs is long enough that you can't get away by just packing your batting. And, you know, you can't hide your bowlers. It is long enough that I'll be very shocked if India loses semis. That's where I am.
Same here.
That brings us to this whole discussion about unfair advantage and whatnot and so on and so forth. So my take here is there are a few things to look at. The realities of today's geopolitic world meant that the Indian team was never going to travel to Pakistan for the tournament. And the reasons for which, out of syllabus as far as our podcast is concerned. But if you look at the venue, had India been in Pakistan, all the games would have been played in the same stadium, Lahore.
Right.
And they have maybe one or maybe two pitches and that's it. Okay, so there's no changing conditions, the same condition across the board. Okay, fine. Very similar to what would have been this case in Dubai. That's one. Yes, there's a travel angle to this, but nothing else. Moreover, this Indian team has been winning a lot. For the last 14 and some years, India has played 50 ODI games in Champions Trophy and the World Cup. These are ICC tournaments. They won 42. I mean, this is insanely high. They've lost 7 and then one was a tie, that famous Strauss 158 in Bengaluru. So, I mean, you've got a win-loss record of 6. This is unheard of. The India ODI team has been very good for a long time, even in ICC tournaments, not just in bilaterals. So, they're talking about a good team, a team that has gotten better because of the depth, guys that are producing. So, it seems unfair to go and paint them as, yeah, they're having so much advantage about one venue and whatnot. Yes, there is an issue about the venue, the distance. And the fact is one is in Dubai and one is in Karachi and Lahore and whatnot. But let's face it, it's 3 hours from Lahore to Dubai and it's 2 hours from Karachi to Dubai for a flight. And if ICC really bothered, they could have easily arranged chartered flights for these people. They might have all been doing so. It's not like it's the end of the world. Guess what? During the 2015 World Cup, there was a case when Australia played one game, I think Afghanistan in Perth, and the next game they played in Sydney. I mean, you can't get much further than that, right? So it's not like other World Cups don't see a lot of traveling. The problem is with the scheduling for the simple reason that they wanted to accommodate a reserve day. Second semi-final, they decided to play the semi-finals on Tuesday and Wednesday so that they can have reserve days available. Instead, what would have been the smart thing to do is play the two semifinals on Wednesday and Thursday.
Thursday, exactly.
And which means at most it has spilled onto Friday and there was a Sunday final.
We still got your reserve day with that model.
Yeah, we would have got your reserve day. And if you had to use the reserve day, guess what? The reserve day is not a full day's play unless it's an absolute washout. Then at least you still had a day's gap and no team was traveling. There's no fuss, nothing. It's simple, right? So I think these guys blew it. They should have just planned accordingly. It would have just been instead.
What we instead have is this nonsensical situation where as India and New Zealand were gearing up to play their final round, both Australia and South Africa apparently traveled to Dubai because neither of them knew who would be in the semi-final. So they would have probably been like just sitting at Dubai airport as the game gets over. one team heads inside Dubai, another team goes back.
Yeah, and it is not just only the team, it is also the commentary crew, because each country sends their own commentary crew, their technicians, their support staff. We are not talking about 15 people, we are talking about 100 people.
Yeah, this is just terrible.
This is just poor. And I don't think this is an issue with the PCB, it's an issue with the ICC, because they did the same thing in England. In the 2017 Champions Trophy, Pakistan was made to play their last group game. And then 2 days later, they played the semi-final. Mm. Now, the advantage they had is they played both the games at Sofia Gardens. Consequently, there was no traveling involved. But it was still two ODI games in the space of 3 days. Because Pakistan won, nobody paid attention. Nobody made a lot of noise. If Pakistan had lost that semi-final game to England, oh, for sure there would have been complaints. And it was a must-win last round game. That's the nature of this tournament. So whichever way you look at it, I think ICC blew it in terms of the scheduling, in terms of to play what game and so on and so forth. As regards the venues, reality is one thing. So this is the best they could do, I mean, if they wanted India to play in the tournament.
Yeah, and India not playing the tournament is also not an option, right? I mean, this tournament is already in its last leg. No one really particularly cares about it anymore. Even if India did the so-called unselfish, non-political thing of pulling out in the larger interest, there is no larger interest to serve here, because the Champions Trophy would simply just crash. No money would be made, the broadcasters would be unhappy, the fans would be unhappy, the much-wanted India-Pakistan game wouldn't happen. Just too many issues coming out of India, basically offering to bail out, because that was offered as an alternative. India should have just bailed out. I mean, but India is not in a position to bail out. It's not like the BCCI wants to do what they are otherwise good at doing, all this power play and business. Their hands are tight. They have to play. And the best they can do is maneuver around all of the politics and settle on something that works. And this, I mean, this is a good enough solution. If they had done a little better with this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday thing that we just discussed a little
earlier. Exactly. And the other argument being said is that they can play in Sharjah, they can play in Abu Dhabi. You've got a world-class...
in Abu Dhabi, it's all right. How does it matter?
But you've got a world-class stadium with a 50,000-seater capacity in Dubai. Why would you go and play in a 22,000-seater with a tiny little ground in Sharjah? You won't. Not that Abu Dhabi is much bigger. I think it's just a 30,000-seater, and it's not exactly the biggest ground in the world either. So it's all fine to go and play T20 matches there. An ICC ODI tournament, I'm not so sure. But again, that's the most that maybe they could have thought, because these places are all literally what, cheek by jowl in terms of locations. But I think this whole ranting and complaining about the unfairness of this tournament is unwarranted. Yes, BCCI does its own thing. They deserve their own...
Of course. I'm going to step up in defense of the BCCI.
Yeah. So no, this is not supporting what they're doing. But in this particular case, this is the best possible option, but for the scheduling of the semifinals and this fiasco with movement. But otherwise, there's nothing else that could have been done. We don't know whether there'll be another 2029 or a 2033 tournament.
Anyway, we still have to discuss the South Africa, New Zealand.
They're also playing, right?
Yeah, so we should go to Anand for this.
I mean, South Africa feels like a better balanced side at the moment, but New Zealand seems complete. That's going to be a cracker of a game. I don't know how better to summarize it. You know, like in today's game, I was a little surprised that Kane Williamson did not finish the game. I mean, the pitch must have been really hard for him to bat on. This chase was right in his alley, and he was well set. I don't think he was timing the ball well at the end of it. So he was struggling. So the pitch had something in it. Otherwise, this was a game that Kane Williamson would have finished. If there is any person who is as good a chaser in ODIs like Virat Kohli, it's Kane Williamson.
And he was playing so well, by the way. He was playing so well.
Yeah. I can't pick one of the two. Both seem complete. Both these teams will go at it. And honestly, I think it's better for India if they play against New Zealand in the finals, because South Africa seems like a more threat to India in Dubai, based on the evidence of today. That's how I look at it. But I can't pick South Africa versus New Zealand. It can go either ways, the semifinals.
To me, today, the game turned on one wicket. And Rod Latham tried his reverse sweep and fell to Jadeja. that's when that game turned, because he has more than enough tools to have played alongside Kane Williamson and slowly ground out the 250. That was the game changer, after which Varun could go and jump all over them and all that stuff.
For what it's worth, Latham is a very, very good player of Spain.
Yes. Yes. And I do think that this New Zealand team is a good team. But like you, Anand, I'm unable to pick either of the team as the favorites. Although, personally, I would like New Zealand to win. Not because of how they'll play against India and all that stuff, because we've got a long history of struggling against New Zealand in key matches, right?
Exactly.
But I somehow like these New Zealand guys more than this current South African crew. It's just a personal preference. We always go back and say South Africa has been losing out. Last year, they played two World Cups and then lost both finals, both the women's and men's T20 finals. So you feel a little bit for them. But
Did you say Tom Latham or did you say Rod Latham?
I made the mistake of saying Rod Latham. You're right.
No, same here. I can never say Tom Latham. They're just belaying our ages right here. But
unfortunately, we're revealing our ages here, exactly.
I just said Rod Latham and then I was like, ooh.
It should be Tom Latham. Yes,
and you're right. It's all a question of Rod Latham, Deepak Patel, Margaret Batch times, right?
The original basketball.
The original best.
So anyone plans to wake up at 1 in the morning to watch either?
I'm going to try to watch the India versus Australia semi-final. Although it isn't a wise idea because I have some work meetings of importance. And today I was walking around like a zombie for the better part of the day, but it didn't matter. I don't think I have the luxury of doing that on Tuesday. By the way, on Sunday, for the third time, we'll have the unusual situation of watching the time change happened during the course of an India match.
Oh, right. We've had this twice before.
It happened twice. Once, I think, India versus Zimbabwe in the T20 World Cup in Australia. Then some India game in the 2023 ODI World Cup. And then this one.
I think it was the New Zealand game. If I remember right, it was the New Zealand game.
November change, not
November change.
But thing is, it earlier experience was the clock moving, giving us the same hour twice.
Yeah.
This time around, what's going to happen is the game will start at 1, it will go into 2, and the next minute, our clock, 3 o'clock. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, the final is all if India plays, I'm watching. Otherwise, no.
I think what we should do is we should reset our clocks a day before. So in our minds, we are only waking up at 2 o'clock and not 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a smart move. I was just thinking maybe we should do a meetup and a match. And then I remembered the 2023 November 19. I said, no.
We did beat Pakistan. So we had 50-50 chance.
That's a 50-50 chance. Pakistan matches, yes, we can do this. But I'm not so sure about tournament finals.
Yeah, I think it just took... Cross your fingers and just pray. With India, you can never tell. But before that, India versus Australia and South Africa versus New Zealand. So I am pushing for an India-New Zealand final myself. I think I agree with the point that Anand made a little earlier that, I mean, I feel like New Zealand just has a slightly more well-rounded team that will do better in these conditions compared to South Africa. So I think we will see a New Zealand final against hopefully India.
I'm actually okay with 3 out of 4 teams winning this Champions Trophy. You know, the one that I don't want to win.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
That's nice. That's a good way to say it.
South Africa already has got one final this year. Let them play that one. Let New Zealand play this one.
Yeah, true.
And yes, they can win that one for all I care, as in South Africa. We come to the end of this episode, and the next time we meet, I guess we'll be closer to the finals.
Absolutely.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.